Now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Get ready for more of the best fishing information and the hottest tips on improving your angling skills. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best. Shimano.
And by
Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. And now, Southern California's sports fishing voice, the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Standen.
Welcome back. Hour number two of Let's Talk Hookup here on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio on that Let's Talk Hookup app. And boy, as we said at the beginning of the show, Pete traveling home from that ultra trip down in Patagonia. We look forward to having him back in the studio after a long departure, certainly the longest time Pete's ever been away from the radio.
A three-week trip.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun, Corey, talking fishing and talking with you. And boy, we're certainly doing it again today with Captains Mark Paisano and Paul Strasser from the Independence, 22nd Street, the Half Day, the bait companies, everything going on. So many hats that these guys wear, and we are just having such a good time talking fishing of all kinds today, Corey.
And man, there's more knowledge between these two guys than I think I've heard from any two ever in this industry. So it's kind of cool. If you want to join us, I'm being honest, Paul's laughing, but it's all honesty, man. Talking from long range to bait fishing to, there aren't many people that can talk sardine fishing.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that.
Yeah, not as many people get fired up talking to Corey about fishing nets, but have also built a long range.
That's
pretty fun.
Not many smell like they have anchovy in their boot either. So, hey, you want to join us? 213-432-1090, or you can text us via the app. We're giving away a really cool, definitely thanks to APCO for this one, because it's a really cool, brand-new Reaper windproof jacket from APCO. It's constructive, durable, three-layer stretch, soft-shell, ripstop, and ultra-warm Hexatron fleecing. And it has an integrated neck gaiter, too. One lucky caller, texter. Paul's going to flip the coin at the end of the show to find that one out.
So. You got it, man. Well, hey, phones are packed up solid. It's been a very busy morning. That's 213-432-1090. Before we jump into the phones, we're going to talk with the Catch Sport and find out what's biting out there, Corey.
And it's sponsored by the Fish Pros of Fisherman's Processing in San Diego, the best processing for your fish when your trip returns to the landings. Plus, with Fish Pros of Market, you can purchase their fresh fish, their smoked jerky fish, all their spices and rubs, smoked cheeses, tuna burgers, and their poke kits. Stop by their location in Old Town on Taylor Street, or you can order online at fishermansprocessing.com. And be sure, man, we've been mentioning this for weeks and weeks now, Rick, but make sure if you're making reservations on the Independence, the RP, whatever boat you're going on this year, make sure you make reservations by texting them for your fish processing. The telephone number for texting is 619-255-3128.
A lot of people got caught with how crazy busy things were this year without the ability to get their fish processed. And I'm with you, Corey. As soon as you get your spot booked on the Indian, you know what trip you're going on, just pick the phone right back up, put your reservation, and make sure you get in, because it's been very busy. Good. We're going to start it off. Private boater Mark with us on. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, good morning, Rick. Mark, Paul, great show. And hey, Rudy, morning. Happy birthday, buddy.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it.
Yeah, right on. So, you know, I got up early there this morning, look out the window. It's still all dark, but, man, I can see the trees moving. I'm thinking, uh-oh. So pull up the observations on the computer, take a look offshore there. Man, that big wind they forecast is verified. It's gusting to 30 to 40 almost everywhere on the outside. That just sucks. I'm so sick of this wind. In between these windy days on the beach here, you know, the little action on the coastal bass and sculpins, nothing really exciting, kind of same story we've had for several weeks since codfish got closed up there. So there is a little uptick in the halibut fishing as we're getting closer to spring. Some really big ones here were caught this past week or so. And then over Catalina, you know, halibut fishing has been kind of a mainstay. The beaches backside east have been getting the most attention. It's been pretty steady fishing up there, fairly shallow. But man, conditions are going to take a big hit this weekend because along with the wind, there's a really big swell that's pumped up. So all that shallow water is going to be scary if you even think about it. Don't even think about it, guys. But it's going to get pretty well churned up there. There is a sprinkle of sea bass and yellows mixed in. Most of that out there in the deeper water, and most of that's been tanker grade, so fish some good gear, guys. And then this is the time of year I usually start fishing up shallow, looking around little beaches for the sea bass up there tight. Love that kind of fishing, and was planning on doing that Monday, but given the big swell and the northwest wind, it's going to just obliterate the spots I wanted to fish up west there, so I'm going to pass on that. But those white flowers on the dogwood trees, man, it's ready to come down, and now when those white flowers start coming down, that beach fish always seem like they're ready to bite, so we're ready to go. For the science section of this week's report, I did a little recon into the dogwood tree thing since people were asking about it after the last couple of weeks when I mentioned it. There's a total of 17 different kinds of dogwood trees. There's four of them that are most common here in the U.S., and there's about 12 other trees that flower kind of at the same time. Like Doug might, his yellowtail tree might be an evergreen pear tree. But so for you guys that didn't think I was looking at a flowering dogwood tree, I have investigated it thoroughly, and it is indeed exactly that. And that thing is so loaded with flowers, they're going to come down any day, and that you just know, guarantees that fish is going to go wide open.
Mark, you have Mark and Paul scratching their head trying to figure out what you're talking about. So, so Mark has this line of dogwood trees on his way to the tackle shop, and when they bloom, there's a bite coming.
It was funny when we were talking about that. And Doug Kern, same exact thing. He jokes about it. Like, he's got a tree in the backyard that we jokingly call the yellowtail tree. And, man, you could set your watch to it. Like, that thing blooms, there is yellowtail to be caught in La Jolla. I mean, like clock, like a joke even. It had been dead there for a few weeks and tough water, tough everything else. And he jokingly come into the shop one morning like, boys, it's about to happen. There's flowers budding on the yellowtail tree. And sure as hell, the next 2 days, like, boys, good fishing to be had, man. Like, it is, you could set your watch to it. It was a lot of fun talking about. Well, nice job on your research, Mark. Pretty cool.
It is fun stuff. And here's another tidbit for you guys, because this kind of parlays into when the white flowers come down, because in the El Nino years, they tend to come down about 2 weeks earlier than in a normal year, which this would be. So if you go to a website, for you guys that like to read about this technical stuff, there's a website called stormsurf.com, and it's mostly about surfing conditions, as you might expect. But at the very top, there's a red bar where it says this week's video report, and the guy does about a half-hour-long video about all the technical stuff that makes La Niñas and El Niños and how that affects the surf, and it's really technical. But for me, it's really interesting. But long story short, he's saying that the pendulum is swinging. We've been stuck in this La Niña pattern here for quite a number of years now, actually kind of a triple dip thing. But he says the pendulum is swinging, and they're starting to think in terms of forecasting El Nino for the fall. So this time next year, if that verifies, we'll be seeing what time those flowers come down, if it's 2 weeks early like it's supposed to be.
All right.
I like it, Mark. Well, a great report, and we learned something, too. If somebody wants to take advantage of everything going on at Pacific Edge, buy the best bait tanks in the world and get some great info, how do we find you?
Ricky, we're in Huntington Beach. We're on a corner of Bolsa Chica and Edinger by that Chevron station. And the phone number is area code 714-840-4262. And the website's PacificEdgeTackle.com. And hey, I got a question for Mark and Paul here. Do you guys still have any of the light skiffs out in the outer harbor like there used to be, where you would set around the skiffs with the lights on? Do you guys still do that?
No, we don't, Mark. You know, the thing with those light skiffs, I know what you're talking about, because that was the way everybody got bait back in the day. That's when Billy used to use a Lampara net. So to explain the difference between a Lampara net and a purse seine, it'd be like fishing 2-pound test on bluefin versus 40-pound. I mean, you know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. It's just, so when you put a light, you kind of fix your fish around that light. Mm-hmm. So they could set a Lampara net, which doesn't close up on the bottom. It has wings and a bag.
Right. It's basically a napkin versus a gun sack. Right?
Yeah, that isn't even close to, it's even more dramatic than that. But Billy would do that so he knew he would be able to catch fish in the middle of the night to bait out the overnight boats.
That was so Billy could sleep in and not get up till midnight and be on the bait grounds at 1:30 in the morning and be able to bait everybody out.
No, well, it was the opposite of that guy. That guy bit out at 10 o'clock at night.
Okay.
Oh, earlier
he
even.
Yeah, or even 9 o'clock because he had to bait out the 10 o'clock boats. 11. He liked to bait everybody out of the net. He would never send anybody ever to a barge.
So the barge was like his backstop.
That's his cash cow, really. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he left that alone. And he'd always bait you out of the net. And
the beauty of those guys, when they were catching that bait in the harbor, you know, for those of us that like to fish calico bass and live bait, man, all those herrings and tomcods and pompanos and weird goofy shit, man.
Yeah,
that's all good.
Yeah, no, you get a variety of bait. You get pompano, like Mark says.
Sure.
The brown bait for fishing locally was like the bait. I mean.
Yeah,
I mean, a lot of guys nowadays, they don't really realize it, but that was the bait.
That's what you're hearing. That's where your jackpot fish came from.
Always, yeah.
And all that was known as brown bait.
Right, brown bait. Right, yeah, the mix of everything else. Yeah. Everything that wasn't an anchovy or sardine got lumped in as that.
Talk about good times.
That's cool.
Like, the anchovies were only like 1.5 to 2 inches long, and you guys wanted to go catch bluefin on that bait.
Right.
But then that big anchovy would move in the harbor around 5:36, right at the crack of dawn, that big anchovy moving. So the three-quarter day boats all had the big anchovies.
Got it.
And then we'd go to the island on the three-quarter day boat and have to give scoops of bait to the overnight boats because they had nothing to fish with.
Oh,
all the time.
That's great. Wow.
That's good information.
Yeah, fun, Mark. Great
so
job.
Much,
you got it, buddy. Appreciate a great report. We'll look forward to talking to you next week.
You got it. We'll see you. Take care.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
All right. All the way from Huntington Beach on Pulsa Chica and Edinger, all the way to Mission Bay, our good buddy Marcos. It's Marcos on the radio from C4 Sport Fishing. Good morning, Marcos.
What's up, Marcos?
Good morning, guys. How's everyone doing?
Doing great. Finally had a nice week of weather here and, man, enjoyed some good fishing.
You know, that weather was great. Unfortunately, went to pick it up a little bit this weekend off the coast there. So the Trinity Pacifica did not make it out this weekend. They had to deal with that, and they're going to play it safe. They are scheduled to be out there next weekend, and like I said, when they've been getting out there, they've been having some great fishing. But that new Seaforth, pretty much getting limits of bottom fish there. Yesterday, 20 anglers had 200 assorted bottom fish. On Wednesday, 25 anglers had 250 rockfish. So very good fishing on those extended half days. And there's a reason those have been so popular over the last few years here. And we're going to keep running those. We've got those scheduled throughout the week. And we'll actually, I believe, be running those a little bit, hopefully, in the March there. But the good news is the San Diego is back online for March. He is scheduled for the 1st of March to go back down to the islands there. So we're going to see how that shakes out there. So check the website, seaforthlanding.com. We got those Sea Watch local half-day trips, which are catching a nice mix of bass and a few sculpin in the mix there, some whitefish in there, mostly sand bass. The new Seaford extended half-days fishing down there in Mexico, catching those rockfish. The San Diego trips are online starting in March there, going back to the islands. And again, for those extended half-days and those full-day Coronado Island trips, a passport is required, so make sure you have those. We also have those day and a half on the weekends on the Pacific and the Tribute. And it's, you know, like I said, the season slowed down and never really ended there, I'd say.
No doubt, buddy. Well, certainly some good fishing to be had. We'll let this little bit of weather get by us, and we'll get right back on it. If somebody wants to book a spot online, and, boy, you mentioned last week, Marcos, how important reservations are, especially for those local trips right now. It's not about making sure that there's a spot left for you. It's about making sure the boat knows that there's going to be enough people to come fishing. So I know reservations are key, and if somebody wants to make it, how do we do that?
Like I said, this is the time of year where you want to make sure there's enough, not too many. Seaforthlanding.com. You can make your reservations right online there for both the half days, the local and extended, for the full days, for the day and a half. We have trips up throughout the season. There are some longer trips, you know, both starting to put their longer 2 and 3 day trips up there. Give us a call at the office, 619-224-3383. Come down and visit us in person. Get a burrito next door, pick up your MC swim baits, which is what all those rockfish are being caught on, and get on the boat and go out there fishing.
Oh, that's good times, Marcos. Nothing wrong with a little red rockfish in your life.
Yeah, that's
right?
For sure.
Absolutely not. Some of the better eating fish you're going to catch.
Yep. Yeah. No doubt, Marcos. Appreciate you as always. Great report, and we'll talk to you next Saturday.
We'll talk to you then, guys.
All right. That's a good one. It was brought to you by Summit Gasoline. When it comes to low, 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 low gas prices, only at Summit Gasoline at the Sports Arena. Get your California fishing licenses 24 hours a day, all your beer, soda, snacks. Still offering this, man. I can't believe it. 100 pounds of free ice with a minimum of 35 gallons purchased only at Summit Gasoline. Go in and say hello to Martha, the manager. And it's a super friendly staff. So much more than lowest gas prices in town. along with their free ice. It's an easy in and out with your boat trailer. And it's only at Summit Gasoline at the Sports Arena.
Hey, real quick for John and Escondido, Mike Lum wrote us back to let us know that the used tackle sale this year, they're going to have it day at the docks. So so at day of the docks, end of March, I'll confirm the final, the actual date is where all the Rollo used sale will going to be going. And a really good opportunity to pick up some used gear for sure.
It's a big one of the year.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, phones are packed. Corey, let's jump back into them.
Let's do it. How about Sean? Sean Cohn from Lomita. Appreciate you joining us on Let's Talk.
What's up, Sean?
Hey, happy birthday, Rick.
Thank you, buddy.
No worries. Hey, I grew up in this area also. Actually, not your area, but up here in your area, Mark and Paul, and fishing in 22nd Street. And I'm just curious about the history that goes back. It seems like 22nd Street was one of the early landings that started the party boat fishing, at least in this area. And I think it trickled down south. I know Dana Wharf and you know, like Davy's Locker was there for a long time. And people like, I like to hear, is it true that Bill Poole was from Lomita? Because here I am living in Lomita. I like to find any important people that are from my town. And what about Russ Izor and the history around 22nd Street Landing, how far back it went?
Well, Russ was right on 256th, I think, because I worked for Iserline.
Yeah.
And I was one of his first employees.
Really? For Russ?
For Russ. And we worked out of his garage, and I labeled and spooled monofilament and tagged and Dr. Fisherman and 3 days a week, 3 hours a day for 3 days a week that kept him stocked up for a couple of years.
That's cool. That's
while I was doing the Sporking. Anyways,
That's high school?
High school.
And then Bill Poole.
Bill Poole went to Narbonne for 2 years. His family moved around, he said. And he went to Narbonne for 2 years, and then they moved down Oceanside. I forgot how it went. But but he's there for a couple of years.
Wow.
He wasn't born and raised, but he was at Narbonne for a few years, yeah.
That's fun. Very cool.
What a cool history. I love it.
Totally. Yeah. No doubt. Been around for a minute, man. Lots of fun. Hey, appreciate the call very much, Sean. How about another fun text from Josh in Oceanside? Good morning, gentlemen. With all the great fishing we've had in the last few years and you guys having your hands in every part of the business, have you ever thought about having a place for a fish processing company in Orange County or L.A. area?
Oh, that's a good one. I can see their mind turning now.
Well, that's a great... It's a great thought. Well, no, we've thought about it, but the problem with L.A. now, it's just that it's so limited on where you could actually do a process.
Oh, same thing here.
You have to have, it has to be industrial rated M property, which is, I forget what the M actually stands for, but it's, you can process a biodegradable or a product that's, you know, food grade or bait grade, you have to be zoned a certain way, and it's not easy to do.
Not easy to find.
Not easy to find. Well, yeah, and a lot of money now.
Yeah. Another curveball is we have the commercial pink buildings over here in San Pedro that takes in commercial fish. It'd be a great spot to have rent one of those out, but your vacuum packers, and you cannot mix commercial with sport.
So really you couldn't bring like Fisherman's Processing to that area and operate.
Yes, you can. I'm saying out of the buildings that accept commercial fish.
It's commercial.
That same building that you'd like to, you know, you couldn't do that.
Like the location's right.
Well, no, I think what you're saying though, this is what I understand from that law. If you're selling commercially caught fish, so in other words, fish that's being sold to the public, you cannot do a processing for sport fishing in the same building. So it's not so much the building or where the building's at, but you can't do both. In other words,
in the same building, underneath the same roof. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're either doing commercially for sell, or you're doing sport caught fish for customers.
How large of an industry? I have a question. How large of an industry is the canning still? Like the canneries?
No, it's like
it
a lot of
exist.
It doesn't exist anymore. It went overseas.
No.
So all our canning is done where it used to be in Terminal Island, where we have our bait boats. There was Starkist, there was Pan Pacific, there was huge. And Pedro, where I grew up, and my family came to here from Italy back in, after the war, World War II, my family moved, or came to America and started fishing because they had a background in fishing. But the amount of women, it was basically Yugoslav and Italian immigrants that came to Pedro, because the women that were, it was all women that worked in the canning, and the men worked in the fishing, or a lot of the Yugoslavian, back when it was Yugoslavia, now it's, you know, Bosnia and Croatia and Montenegro and all those different countries. There was a lot of great shipwrights, a lot of good work. Matter of fact, the guy we have, Croatian guy that does our woodwork, he's top notch, Dinko. He was one of those guys that worked in boatyard, building boats. Yeah. And
within that industry.
Within the industry, within the maritime industry. Right. So you had this community that was a lot of, like, before shipping became, now it's shipping, right? Everything's containers everywhere you look. Fishermen are like, we're a dinosaur. The big money is in shipping, so they've kind of just shrunk our little fishing area down to nothing. But all our canning is done in Puerto Rico, Samoa, Mexico. I don't even know in Mexico they're doing it anymore. But, you know, there's different places that they're doing it, but it's out in the cheap labor countries.
Yeah, I think Mazatlan still has, you know, a canning industry.
Yeah, I think it does.
But there was San Pedro had canning, like, for the mackerel and bonito, I think, up until...
For everything.
Like 15...
Mackerel, bonito, tuna. Yeah. Everything, yeah. It's just, yeah, it everything went overseas.
Yeah, it's just an interesting thing.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Totally it is. Hey, another fun text. Hi, Mark and Paul. I took an 8-day trip last year in July on the Indy. We had an amazing trip. Limits of jumbo yellowtail at Alejos, then finished our trip up north with limits of big bluefins. It was an excellent trip. My question is, the current fleet, how the current fleet sits, do you feel that there's going to be a need at some point for boats to be replaced? And also, what are your thoughts on building a new boat? Can it be cost-effective to both the owner and the customer? Knowing that you guys built the Independence, I love your guys' input. That's from Dan in Castle Rock, Colorado.
Well, you can build a boat, and I believe people will come. But the problem is building a boat and making it work financially. If I had a lot of money that I didn't need, it'd be fun to build another boat. But I don't know how many years we got left in us to. But you know, I don't, Mark.
I think if the cost
the
is
cost. Material cost has got to be
just look at the last couple of years of cost. You know, like we were talking about, we had to raise our price. Well, obviously, everybody knows fuel. Fuel's gone sky high. But what you don't realize is repairs, shipyard costs have gone way up. Paint. I mean, what's all grip now? $400 or $500 a gallon?
Yeah.
I mean,
a gallon.
It used to be a couple hundred dollars a gallon. Well, that's a petroleum product, yeah. Right? So all these paints and all these things we use to maintain our boats is sky high. But you look at raw materials, you're probably looking at, to build the Independence today, I'm just going to ballpark it, you're probably looking at $8 or $9 million.
Yeah. That's all.
$8 or $9 million. Wow.
Yeah. Well, we did it 20 years ago for $3 million with our own shipbuilding, you know, we created a boat building company,
yeah.
And hired the guys to run it just to build one boat. But if you had first of all, there's no more boat building going on in California because of all the regulations. So if you're going to build a boat, you're either doing it in the Gulf of Mexico. Louisiana still has a lot of shipyards. Florida has a few. Texas has a few. And then if you go north here, a lot of those guys are starting to disappear. There used to be all the fiberglass yards up in Washington.
Yeah.
You know, you had Thermodyne was another one. There's a handful up there, but they're kind of slowly going away, and they're not building really private stuff. They still do a lot of government stuff because the government has checkbooks that are a lot larger than ours.
Then you got a few steel guys up north. But
yeah, there's a few steel guys, mostly retrofit. A lot of guys, there's a lot of retrofit yards that they'll take a boat and they'll peel the sides off, make it wider, longer, you know, update all the equipment on it, and basically it's a new boat.
Thank goodness. A lot of our fleet is so solid. I mean, they're built of, you know, the wood boats are of solid mahogany and you know, wood you couldn't get today.
The biggest problem we have now, though, boats are starting to disappear and they're not being replaced.
Right, right.
You know,
Wood's tough, too, because of hauling it. So the way we haul wood boats, the best way, is either with a single lift, which you drive in and it floats the boat. So you're not moving the boat. You're not lifting it with straps. Or a table, which a table slides down into the water. They put the boat on to blocks, and they pull it out of the water. Now, you really need to haul a boat safely, a plank boat like that.
Mm-hmm.
So the biggest problem is there's no yards like that in San Diego. There's one yard left south of San Francisco. I don't even know about San Francisco. It may not be, but it's in L.A. It's Larson Shipyard. Mm-hmm. So they still have tables. But you really need to haul a wooden boat I mean, a plank boat. You can haul plywood boats with a sling, but plank boats really need to be hauled on a table.
Properly.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, we had the whole thing with the chief a few years ago. They hauled it and they crushed it, you know, and that went away.
Yeah. Travel lift is what's going on now, and it's hard. You know, and they're starting to get rid of wooden boats. Coast Guard, you know, they're really weird about them.
How about a boat as big as the Independence? How difficult is it to find in a proper place to pull that out of the water?
The Independence, you know, we got Larson, we got Marine Group. That's about it.
Because it's a Ventura. It's a big boat.
But the problem with the Independence is it's too light.
That's why I'm asking. It's such a big boat.
Yeah, because it's not the weight. It weighs 245 tons, but it's 33 feet wide. And we're like 3 inches.
33. Wait, I'm trying to wrap my mind around that. 33 feet wide.
Yeah. I always told Mark, I said, if I would have gone to a 10-inch guardrail instead of a 6-inch, we wouldn't be able to haul out here.
That's how little room for error you have. That's unreal. Unreal.
Yeah. By accident.
Yeah.
So we used to haul out at the old Knight Carver yard, and we made it by literally 6 inches.
Yeah.
Literally 6 inches. Narrow enough to
haul. So let me ask this, 33 feet wide, how many passengers do you carry on these trips?
Well, anywhere from 26 to 30.
But unreal, right?
I mean, I'm like...
Well, that's why I always like steel boats, because they're lower in the water, wide. It's hard to roll a box. That's why the boat ride's so nice. And if you've never been on the Independence, do yourself a favor and go on one of our three-day trips or any of our trips.
And you've got open spots.
We have a few open spots, too. We got a new secretary in the office, too. Judy retired, and Michelle will be there answering the phones.
That's awesome. So. The other thing that the Indy does is just, it was built by people who have done nothing but bait and fish. That boat holds such an unbelievable amount of sardine that when you need it, that boat has got it, and it's got it to spare, and a lot of times, and there's sometimes... Some types of fishery we're having that is the difference, you know, being able to activate a school or whatever else. Like, it seems like bait is never ending on that boat.
Well, that's not that, but, you know, when Mark and myself built the boat, we looked at every aspect of the boat on a sport fisherman.
Yeah.
Looking how do you want things done. And from the bathrooms to the bunks to the wheelhouse to the combinations to the galleys to the walk-in freezers and the bait capacity and the bait tanks and the height of the tanks. I mean, and the distance from the rail to the house, from the house and material the house is made out of, aluminum, being lighter. And, I mean, there are so many things that went on during the build of this boat. And anyways.
Yeah, you got to have a lifetime of experience and then got to build a boat from it.
Yeah, well, the thing about our slammers is we usually save bait. So if we get bait that looks maybe kind of suspect, it hasn't had enough time on it from the receivers, we'll put it in a well and we'll let it sit for a trip.
Yeah.
So sometimes we'll load bait and we'll use it for the following
trip. Sure.
So we're able to, we have enough capacity to do that, which is really, really helpful.
That's incredible.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah,
well, the phones are packed up. Everybody excited. Corey, let's jump back in.
All right. How about Bob? Bob Cohn from Huntington Beach. Appreciate you joining us this morning, Bob.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, good morning, guys. First, I want to say is happy birthday. Then to Mark and Paul, buddies, you guys have been around for a long time. We've been friends for like 30 years. And you guys run a top-notch operation. You guys have always put your customers first. You guys have knowledge in the sport fishing industry. Both of my kids were raised on fishing on your guys' boats, and I appreciate you guys' friendship.
Thank you.
Thanks for that. Nice comments. We appreciate it. So many kids. You know, it's kind of funny. We're just talking. My son is going to be on his second issue. He's going on a second issue lesson. And it's like...
That's hard for me to fathom.
Yeah. A lot of people we know have fished with him when he was a little kid.
You're aging yourself. Be careful.
And yeah. I mean, we're both going to be 60 here in another couple of months.
Which is incredible. I mean, you say that, but both of you don't look it. And being salty and living on the ocean, and you guys look great.
Clean living.
Eat more fish.
Yeah, there you go.
I remember Mark coming in with you to do the radio shows show young that you know like you know hanging with dad. I mean a little guy, and like to think that he's been driving sport boats and created such a great career for himself and about to be on a second issue. That was a hard one for me to be like, you got to be kidding me. Like, there's no way.
Yeah.
That's great. Very fun. Hey, another good text said, good morning, guys. I'm always pumped for this particular show. I learned so much. Outside of tackle for long range, what else is something that should be packed? What are a couple of things that you guys see people forget a lot that they wouldn't think about when getting ready for a long range trip on the Independence? That's from Rory in Lakeside.
Towel.
Two towels.
A couple of towels. You know, the sun, you got to remember, what I tell people is you're changing climate zones.
That's a good
call. So you're leaving San Diego, and then when you get down, you know, a couple hundred miles, it's different.
Tropics.
And then another, and then another couple hundred miles, it's different again. And sunscreen.
Hats, big hats.
Yeah, hats are good. Gaiters, things like that that you can protect from the sun. But
I like those long sleeve, like those long sleeve shirts.
Yeah,
that
the sun shirts.
Yeah, I wear those everywhere I go. I go on vacation. I bring them. You know.
The other thing I always like is a little multi plug, because I mean, I know it's dumb and we shouldn't all. You know, the reason you're going on a long range trip is to disconnect, but. You're going to charge your phone up for a clock. You're going to charge your little iPad up so you can watch it when you're watching a movie in the stateroom. Like having one of those little multi plugs is always nice in the stateroom. And like there, the two towels is always a must too. You know, like you
one's dry and
usually usually takes just longer than a day for that thing to dry out if you're down below. Like that's fun. All right, well, hey, appreciate that one very much. Good on you for the text, Rory. Next one, another text. This one was from Dave in San Diego. Guys, I have to ask, is there any chance you'll be distributing that killer frozen squid again this year? You gave us a taste, and now there's nothing like it. I used to love grabbing a pack at Dana Landing and running out to go catch some rockfish. Where's my favorite squid? That's from Dave in San Diego.
I tried to talk Paul into getting back in the frozen bait business, but being at our age, I don't know if we will, but we do have an idea to do that. And if we do, our plan is to bring it in live and pack it, like basically squirting ink, freeze it,
flash freeze it.
And it'll be, I think it could be the quality where you could take it and catch sea bass with it. And, but see, the problem we have real quick.
Tell us a little bit about, because there's probably people that don't even know what he's talking about. But, I mean, you guys, you really did. You produced frozen squid that was just so leaps and bounds different than what was available.
And the reason for that, Rick, is before you would get what was the crap, wasn't for human consumption, and it was literally so hot and cooked, it was pink.
So basically what we were putting out, I'll let Paul in a minute.
Better than table ready.
Well, it was, so we keep it live in our tank, so the stuff's not sitting on the boat. So we'd bring it in usually live or, you know, caught floating, you know, where it's in water anyway, we're bringing it in, even if it dies. But we were packing it right away. Where when you're buying bait grade squid, it's squid that doesn't pass. You know, there's A, B, and C grade. C grade is bait grade. So when you're buying bait grade, it's usually the junk,
it's
stuff that isn't.
Cooked. It's just, literally pink.
Yeah, exactly.
It's bad news.
Go ahead, Paul.
Well, what went on when we first started the frozen bait in the very beginning, our first batches they call it, were smaller packages. A smaller volume of being brought in. They were packing the actual squid that we brought in. You know, I'm sure Mark already knows this, but near the end there, we were selling a lot of squid, and our packers, we didn't have full control of the whole packing facility. Our packer was packing us beautiful fish, but it was not the grade that we like. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean the pink. I'm talking about he was packing fish that you could eat. It was white because it was in fresh water for a long period of time. But what we found out, what we know, is you want to pack squid that has the ink still in it. So when you defrost it, it's like fresh dead.
Like you said, and the way you would do it on your skiff.
Yeah. Now, when an opportunity or we see the right opportunity, the right location to where we can do small packs, like 4 or 5 ton at a time, 10 ton at a time. But the problem is if you start packing too much at a time, then you start getting into where you have to store that squid prior to packaging it. But if you could package 2, 3, 4 ton at a time where it's actually like live coming off the boat, then you got something really going on. But then, you know, there's a lot involved.
Interesting. Yeah, crazy stuff. I love hearing it. So much knowledge.
Great. Great, you guys.
Well, there's a lot behind that story, too, because real quickly, we were a guy, the market we were selling, you know, we'd catch 40 ton of squid and sell them 40 ton, and then we would pack a couple ton for ourselves. Mm-hmm. Well, they found out they were packing squid for us to compete with them. So we lost that packer, and then they raised the price, and then it got to a point where it was like nobody wants to pack their own squid because we're just selling against them.
I mean, I get it. But it is true. What you guys produced was at such a level above what was available now. Like, I mean,
it takes more work to do it, but we could. Charge more, but it costs more, but we could charge more. But it something that may happen in the future.
There's enough people that want it, for sure.
No doubt.
Hey, you're listening to Southern California Sport Fishing Voice. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Since 1946, the Hall Family Shows have celebrated the passion of outdoor recreation. The Bart Hall Show at the Del Mar Fairgrounds February 16th through 19th will be San Diego's biggest fishing show, biggest boat show, biggest outdoor recreation event of the year. Acres of fishing tackle, boats, marine accessories, kayaks, international fishing and hunting lodges, trucks, vehicles, RVs, travel trailers, off-road products, and hundreds of seminars. The Bart Hall Show, presented by Progressive, will provide a full day of family fun. Don't miss the Mammoth Lakes Kids Fish Free Trout Pond, the Ram Ultimate Air Dogs, the San Diego County Ford Dealers Paul Bunyan Lumberjack Show, Convict Lake Resort's Great American Duck Races, the Okuma Bass Tank, Accurate Fishing's Main Seminar Stage, Iowa's Saltwater Stage, Hobie Kayak Fishing Seminars, Mammoth Lake Seminars, Costa Sunglass Prizes, Kids Casting Contests, Laser Shot, and more. Celebrate 75 years of Hall Shows February 16th to the 19th at the Del Mar Fairgrounds. Tickets at hallshows.com. That's hallshows.com. It's a whale of a show.
Are you passionate about fishing and the great outdoors, but not quite sure where to go? Look no further than Queen Charlotte Safaris in pristine British Columbia, Canada. Hello, this is Valerie Hopewich. There's so many reasons to join us on your next fishing adventure. A few of the highlights are fishing in protected, calm waters. Very important. Quality snook salmon run all season long. After you've caught your salmon, we're going to go out for the great Pacific halibut, lean cod, rockfish, and Dungeness crab. Our beautiful lodge overlooks Shingle Bay and Sandspit, and it's so easy to get to. Fly from almost any airport into Vancouver and then on to Sandspit. Fish processing, your fishing license, your gear, all included. Just bring that fishing arm and that smile. Let our chef pamper you with amazing meals while our staff gives you wonderful hospitality, all included in your Queen Charlotte Safaris package. Give me a call on our toll-free number, 1-877-815-2892, or go to our website, qcsafaris.com.
All of us at the American Angler family want to express appreciation to our regular passengers that fish with us year after year and to the new anglers that came out this last season. We realize how precious your vacation time is, and we are truly grateful that you have chosen to spend this time with us. It's important that your experience is memorable, from the moment you call the office to the time you step off the boat. Hi, I'm Lori. Call me at the office, 619-223-5414, or check us out at AmericanAnglerSportFishing.com. Come fishing with the American Angler family and make a memory.
Hi, this is Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing Tackle. If you have been following us on Instagram, you know we have been loading up on tackle, so take advantage of our huge inventory by coming to our preseason tackle sale Saturday and Sunday, February 11th and 12th. This is your golden opportunity for huge savings on everything you need to fish this spring and summer. We will be discounting all the big names. That's Fisherman's Landing Tackle, huge preseason sale Saturday and Sunday, February 11th and 12th. We'll see you at the landing.
Safe travel should always include travel insurance. This is Bob Dawson at Dawson & Associates. We offer many different plans, from one-year plans to single-trip plans. Traveling twice or more a year, an annual plan will cover most every trip that you make. Also, if you get injured on a trip, it'll fly you back home or fly you to a hospital of your choice, and it's worldwide coverage once you're 100 miles from home. So call me at 619-990-3068 or go to safariglobaltravel.com.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup, man. Rick, this has been so much fun with so much knowledge and just so much in this studio that having a great time.
Yeah, great buds for sure.
Lines have been packed and the texts are like needy.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, no doubt. And like I said, it's just always fun having Mark and Paul in here. So much cool stuff to cover. And yeah, you guys have been friends and buds for a long time. And we got more for it, man. Let's jump into the phones while they're still packed up.
Let's do it. How about John? John called from Mira Mesa.
Hi, John.
Yeah, hey, good morning, fellas. I tuned in late, so I hope that this wasn't already covered. But pros and cons of painting or not painting an aluminum vessel. Did you go over that? What's the advantage of not painting the Independence?
Okay, the advantage was we didn't have to sandblast the hull, the house, number one. Number two, sandblast, and it cost a lot of money to paint the boat. Once you paint it, now you have to continually always paint that boat. Once you do take oxygen away from aluminum, you will develop like pus pockets, and you'll start putting holes through the aluminum over time.
Like blistering.
Like blistering.
Yeah.
If you notice, if you go up north, all the aluminum boats up north are never painted up in Washington and Oregon, Alaska.
Which is a much rougher ocean than we deal with here, right? I mean,
yeah. But better longevity for the product.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. You're going to paint aluminum mainly because the way you want it to look.
Sure.
It's a look.
You know, it's obviously the bare aluminum isn't as attractive as a painted surface, but as far as the material goes, it'll last way longer unpainted.
That's cool.
And what about the weight? I mean, there'd be a lot of weight right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're painting and you've got the upward...
Sure. I heard reports on, like, American Airlines where they didn't paint their planes in a certain area, and some of the other planes that are painted, the amount of weight they added to that plane.
Sure.
When you get a kit of all grip, you lift it up, it's 20, 30 pounds, you know? You're putting that on your plane.
I still am, like, mouth open from when you said that paint was hitting, you know, hundreds of dollars a gallon.
Yeah, go to a marine exchange. A kit of all grip costs.
And what does it cost to, you guys have painted a lot of sport boats in your days. How much paint does it take to do the top side of a boat like that?
Well, it all depends if you're rolling brushing or if you're spraying.
Okay.
Spraying, you're going to probably spray half of it in the air.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to go through at least double the amount of material. But rolling brushing, you don't go through as much.
Okay.
2 or 3 kits at the most.
Got it.
When you're spraying, you better buy 7 or 8 kits.
Well, you got to remember.
When that guy's shooting that gun, you can't say, hey, we're out of paint. No, last time we sprayed the Independence, I bought like 20 kits of all grip just to have. Yeah. I could always take it back.
Sure. Yeah. That's wild.
Well, you got to remember there's filler, there's undercoat, there's multiple coats. So, you know, you pick up a gallon of paint, it's heavy.
Yeah.
Just imagine that times whatever, hundreds.
No doubt. Hey, another fun text. Great listening to Paul and Mark. I have great memories of fishing afternoon half days on the Monte Carlo for calico bass, on the Pile at the Horseshoe, or fishing Catalina on the Islander for yellowtails. They've trained some of the best captains and crews at 22nd Street Landing I've ever seen, from deckhands to owners to co-owners of boats. Wishing you guys continued success from our friend Captain Benny Florentino.
Oh, Ben.
Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah, Ben was a good friend of ours.
Yeah.
I remember Ben used to fish with me, then he got his own boat, and then he'd take people out fishing.
Yeah, that Coastal Charter Service, such a great operation that Benny runs. That's a lot of fun.
Pretty cool.
Good morning, Benny. Yeah. Why don't we jump back to the phones, Corey?
Yeah, absolutely. How about Dave? Dave comes from Spring Valley. Good morning. Welcome. Let's talk hookup, Dave.
Hey, good morning, guys. And great to hear Paul and Mark on the radio with all their experience this morning. As one of the last callers today, I want to talk about the sale of Fisherman's Landing. I zipped through there this morning and saw lots of great deals. Is that happening again tomorrow, Ricky?
It is, yeah. It's our, we call it the Super Sale because for Super Bowl weekend. But, yeah, it's kind of our, it's basically our tackle day without the huge event going on. It's all of the same deals, but, I mean, you know, discounts on every reel in the shop, including free Spectra, discounts on all the rods. It's kind of like our preseason opportunity. We are going to the PCS show, but we're not doing the full show tour like we've done a lot of times, and we just wanted to make sure to give a good preseason opportunity for our customers and family, you know, to score hopefully a really good deal. So everything in that shop is on sale. Every single jig is buy two, get one free. All the knife jigs re-rigged up for blue fins and fluorocarbons, buy two, get one free. And like I said, discount on reels and rods and the whole nine. So, yep, today from 6 to 6, and then again tomorrow, same deal from 6 to 6. So if you want to slide through before the big game, it's hopefully a great opportunity to score some good deals. Some fishing tackle. Appreciate it, Dave, very much. Thanks a lot for that. Corey, why don't we sneak in another?
Let's do it. How about Bobby? Bobby calling from San Clemente. Thanks for joining us this morning, Bobby.
Good morning, Paul and Mark. I'm on the charter 23-8, the Mike Foreman charter, coming up, and our gang is very excited about going out again. I do want to compliment your office staff. Of course, Judy retired, and Michelle Huber took over. I just want to compliment her on helping me as the new charter master. Herd all these cats, as I call them, to get on the boat. Is there any one thing we ought to be conscious of when we're on board of the boat this year? Anything that would help the trip out?
Yeah, nothing's really changed.
It's a three-day trip.
You guys are going to be fishing bluefin more than likely, or yellowtail. or combination thereof. Nothing's really changed. One thing I wanted to mention, we're talking about charging stuff up. One thing I wanted to mention is just make sure we're not charging in the staterooms when they're unattended. That's something the Coast Guard has stressed us. And I mean, it's not anything he's probably asking, but I just wanted to throw that out there. But nothing's really changed. It's the same kind of deal.
Yeah, everything's basically the same. It's a 3-day trip. It's an easy trip. Shouldn't be any difficulty on anything.
You know, with 33 feet astern, sounds like nothing but a good time.
You mentioned at the beginning of the show, and it'd be wise, for those guys that didn't, tuned in later. 3-day trips, there's some of those you've added to the schedule that weren't there before, and a few opportunities still to go on the boat. We kind of touched on it earlier, but good to go over that again. Indy is one of those boats that a lot of people just have that stigma. There's never room. The boat's always sold out. You guys are very successful for a reason, and there's that stigma that's out there that, if I haven't booked my trip already, there's no chance of getting through. And you said there are little sprinkles of spots here or there kind of throughout the schedule.
In the very beginning, they always seem to fill up, and then we have guys back off because of personal issues, or they moved out of state or what have you. And by going on our website, independentsportfishing.com, and you see a trip that you like, you call Michelle up in the office, at the 619-226-6006, and get an idea, because we do have some spots. Yeah. Like I say, the website will tell us it all with our new go right on schedule.
With the shows coming up, with the fishing getting ready to let loose, like those spots are going to go away. This is just an opportunity to book them. And there's you and I went through the list before. There's a couple that have two spots. There's a couple that have four spots. I mean, it's if you and a bud still want to go, there's opportunities to get on the Indy and get in.
And we will be at the Pacific Coast show, and we will be at the Bart Hall show.
Excellent. So cool. We're excited to
see in person.
Yeah, we're excited for that. Let's sneak in another text. Hi, guys. Can you please tell me a little bit more about the Independence? I've never been on the boat. I'm dying to go after listening to this show. What's the size, number of staterooms like? How are the showers? And what's the tackle storage like? Those are all things that make up my decisions when booking a long-range trip. That's from Jack and Ramona.
That's a lot to cover, but when we have day at the docks, we usually have open house, and that's the best time to look at the boat. And actually walk through and see. But it's got how many staterooms?
Well, we have 9 staterooms downstairs, 6 aft, 3 forward, and then 4 on deck level. We have 2 restrooms and showers downstairs, aft, 1 forward. Then we have a restroom upstairs along with a restroom and a shower upstairs.
Yeah.
We have a lot, like 1 shower and bathroom for every 3 staterooms.
Yeah, I like to say there's a head and a shower no further than 6 feet from your stateroom.
Yeah.
So throughout the whole boat.
And the staterooms are huge. Mark, I mean.
They really are.
Yeah, we made sure the width and the length of the bunks were good enough for, 6'8" or?
Most are 6'6", but we have some 7-foot bunks. But like where we built those forward tables, we used to have these really big guys. I mean, like 400-pound guys fish with us. And we built the forward tables to accept extra large guys.
Oh, how cool is that?
So that they're deeper, bigger. But there's a lot of little things like that on the boat. Huge upper deck. You can seat everybody at one seating for dinner. The galley seats 32 people. So, there's a lot of things like that that we've done to make things go smoother on a trip.
For everybody. And we got a new Starlink system, so you can talk to your wife or girlfriend on your telephone, your cell phone.
Your actual phone.
Your actual phone, none of the satellite phone stuff.
You mentioned something earlier in the show, and it was just that, you're going to spoil yourself. And that's the truth, man. You guys did such a good job. The boat is so comfortable. Whether you're going for 3 days or 13 days, like, it is very, very comfortable.
What's funny is we'll be on, a 3-day trip, and the guy gets off and goes, man, I'd love to do a 5 or 7 day.
He goes on
a 7-day trip. He gets off and goes, man, this is easy. I'd like to do a 10 next year. So that's what happens.
We hear it all the time. People say, how could you be on a boat that fast? I don't care what trip you book on the Independence. You are going to snap your finger, and that trip is going to be over. And I mean, it just goes so fast, whether it's 3 days or 5 days or 8 days or 10 days. I mean, it's just, people that haven't been will think, I can't imagine being on that boat for 10 days. You just get into the mode, and the food is so good, and the accommodations, the crew that you guys have takes such good care of people. And you're fishing, and you're doing the things that you like with like-minded people. Next thing the trip's over. I mean, it goes so quick.
And our chefs are really good on the boat, too.
The best, no doubt about it.
Sounds delicious. Hey, we're going to be right back. We're going to find out who's won this AFCO Reaper when we return on the Let's Talk Hookup after Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
The Captain Rollo's 2023 Grand Raffle tickets are now available, and we have an amazing promotion to kick off the new year. Batson Enterprises have graciously donated several Rain Shadow custom rods. All of these rods include the materials that Batson is known for, with Rain Shadow blanks and Alps rod components. Captain Rollo's will be giving away these one-of-a-kind works of art to six lucky listeners. When you buy a book of 2023 Captain Rollo raffle tickets, you will receive one entry into the Batson Custom Rod Drawing. Only 100 books of tickets will be sold. Books of tickets will be $200, and you will also receive 5 grand raffle tickets for free. To purchase tickets, please email Tim at RolloKids.org or call Tim at 909-223-9631. Our thanks go out to Bill Batson and his team for making this promotion possible to get more kids on the water. Thank you to everyone for your support, and good luck.
Top anglers know the best hooks are made by Gamakatsu. But did you know Gamakatsu also makes amazing tackle storage solutions like the G-Box 3200 reversible utility case for easy tangle-free jig storage? Check out the Gamakatsu Spring Lock Spinner. It helps give swim baits additional flash to entice those bites. Gamakatsu also makes a line of fishing pliers, clothing, and more. For the complete lineup, check Gamakatsu.com for your local tackle dealer.
Turner's Outdoorsman, Southern California's number one shooting, hunting, and fishing tackle retailer since 1971, is right in your neighborhood. Now with stores throughout Southern, Central, and Northern California. No one does it better. Turner's Outdoorsman brings you the best prices and selection, plus a knowledgeable staff that will help make your day on the water or in the field more fun. Stop by your neighborhood Turner's Outdoorsman. To find a location nearest you, check the web at turners.com and sign up for special deals and more.
Hi, I'm Pat McDonald here to tell you that the Hall Shows are back. Bart Hall Shows February 16th through the 19th at the Del Mar Fairgrounds and March 29th through April 2nd at the Long Beach Convention Center. Share the passion of outdoor recreation as we celebrate 75 years of Hall Shows Family Fun.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. This has really been a fun 2 hours. Just, man, talking sardines, yeah. Squid, big bluefin, and everything else. There's only one winner. We're going to have Paul.
Paul, do us the honor. We're going to find out if we got a caller or a texter.
Where did it come out? It came out.
We got a texter today.
Our texter, Dan, is from Castle Rock, Colorado. Congratulations.
Good place to have a new jacket.
I think so, especially a AFCO Reefer windproof jacket.
Yeah, no doubt. Boys, awesome, man. I know how busy your schedule is between the Indy and the bait company and 22nd Street, so we really appreciate you coming hanging out a couple hours with us. Always, always enjoy having you on the show, and man, a big thanks. All of the rundown, somebody wants to book a trip on the Independence, how do we get a hold of Michelle? If somebody wants to go local fishing at 22nd Street, all the things you guys do, give us the rundown again.
Well, independentsportfishing.com will probably settle a lot of your questions, but Michelle will be at the phones at area code 619-226-6006. And when you go on the website, just you can see everything about the boat, the schedule, the dates, everything.
The website's great. It's a live view of basically what Michelle has. You know, the same program Michelle's booking spots, and you get to see.
Right.
So you'll see exactly how many spots are on what trip. I mean, you can right now, you can see it exact.
Yeah.
And then 22nd Street Landing, it's been there since before World War II, so everybody knows in the LA area. Yeah, you know, I've tried to research. It used to be Joe Martin's Sport Fishing back in the day. But Frank Hall owned it for a while, real quick. I don't know which time. He was a World War II pilot, shot down, and was prisoner of war. Great story from Frank. But Frank and then these old guys we work with explain the history. But I'd like to know exactly how far it dates.
No doubt.
I haven't been able to find out how far it dates back.
But it's a great location for a landing.
Oh, yeah.
Easy access.
Yes.
Can you give them the number?
Number at 22nd Street is 310-832-8304, but best thing is the website.
Yep. Yeah, no doubt about it.
Everybody's booking online.
Book online.
Yeah. Great job, you guys.
Book online with Independence also.
That's it. Hey, really appreciate it. Really appreciate you. Listen, another couple of great shows coming up. Tomorrow we've got Bart Hall from the Bart Hall Shows and Ron Lane from Fast Lane Kayaks. Going to be a great time talking the Hall Shows. And again, next week, another couple of great shows coming your way. We appreciate you listening. Big thanks to Christian for keeping us on the air. Big thanks to Adam for keeping us rolling on the app, and a big thanks to you for your phone call. We'll see you tomorrow morning, 7 to 9 a.m., right here on Let's Talk Hookup, Southern California's sport fishing voice on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio and the Let's Talk Hookup app.